Well, when Christians think about the theme of love and when they think about the book of 1 Corinthians, almost certainly they will turn to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's great chapter on Christian love. And it may be that you are not so familiar with Christian things, or maybe you are feeling your way back into Christianity and the life of the church, but almost certainly you too know this chapter. It's often read at weddings. One of the recent ones has been Prince Harry's wedding to Meghan Markle. It's a great chapter about love. It is profound and it's powerful. The language sings and it soars. If we want to love well, if we want to love as Christ loves, absolutely we need 1 Corinthians 13. By contrast, our passage today, 1 Corinthians 16, seems much more humdrum and mundane. At first sight, it doesn't really seem to have much going for it at all. This is a very surface reading of the text, you'll understand, but it just seems a bit of a PS, a bit of a postscript, almost a bit of a damp squib. Paul talks about financial giving. He shares his tentative travel plans. He talks about different Christian workers that he knows. It does seem, on the surface, to be a bit of a letdown after the main event. But I have a deep conviction, having wrestled with this wonderful chapter, and that conviction is this: if we are going to love well, love that is God-honoring, Christ-shaped, and Spirit-inspired, then we need both chapters, not just 1 Corinthians 13, but 1 Corinthians 16 as well. Because in the second chapter, the final chapter of Paul's letter, we see love fleshed out. We see love in action, in earthy, specific situations, in the concrete reality of the everyday. If we want to love, not in word only, but also in deed, we need both chapters. We need chapter 13, absolutely, but also we need chapter 16. So let's plunge into this. I do believe it's really exciting. I hope you catch some of my excitement as we go through this. Just a few things in fairly short order today. The first thing is that we are to show our love through financial giving. Seems very earthy, very real, very everyday, and indeed it is, but it is so vital. It is a vital expression of Christian love. We see that written out for us in verses 1 to 4, and Paul gives some real nitty-gritty practical details as to what to do. In particular, he mentions two things. Their giving is to be planned, so he speaks here of weekly giving, and it's to be proportionate to their income. Giving that is planned and giving that is proportionate. Not going to say too much about this today, but I do want to encourage you. It's been really good over the last few weeks to work with our finance team to get the reports. If you are listening to this in real time on the Sunday, then we have a church meeting on Thursday, which I warmly encourage you to come to via Zoom. And we will receive a challenging but a very encouraging financial report. Thank you to all of those who continue to give across our church. Thank you to those of you who have increased your giving. Because of that, if God so leads us, we are able financially to make a new appointment to our staff team. And I just want to challenge you and myself, as well as encouraging, that as we look at this, we should be prompted just to look at our giving again if we can. And I want to throw out a specific challenge from the text that may be especially relevant to some of you. Sometimes we give in very haphazard ways. If we have some money, then we give. If we've got some money on us and we're in a physical service, then we give. But planned giving is something that we've never got around to. It's not systematic, it's not weekly, it's not monthly. This text, these verses, really challenge us by the power of the Holy Spirit to press into that and to know the joy of cheerful and systematic financial giving. So there's a little challenge that I throw out to you. Has this got anything to do with love? Actually, it's got everything to do with love, because as we give, we show our love in practical ways. That's the first thing, Christian love shown in financial giving. Also, we have commitment to God's work as an expression of love. So commitment to God's work. Just want to read through to you again, verses 8 and 9. These are so striking. Paul is talking about his travel plans and he says this: I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. That's an extraordinary final line, isn't it? There are many who oppose me. He's going to stay at Ephesus nevertheless, just turning it around. We see, yeah, there are many who are opposing Paul in Ephesus. Okay, so he's going to move on. No, he's going to stay. He's going to press through this opposition. I think many of us, when we are opposed in this way, when there is persecution, when there is difficulty, when the going is tough, we have a tendency to see it, oh, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to give ourselves to something else. But not the Apostle Paul. He is willing to stick with it and press through the difficulties because of his passion for God, because of his love for people, and because of his heart for mission. And then later on, he mentions the household of Stephanas. He picks this up in verse 15, and he talks about their devoted service to the Lord's people. And it's very clear as we dig into this that this has been going on a long time. It's not service for a bit. It's not flash in the pan service. For these people were the first converts in Achaia. And from that day onwards, they have been dedicated servants of God's people. Again, the message is the same. They are committed to God's work. They are loving, and then they're loving again and again and again. Not just a day, not just a month, not just occasionally, not just a few years, but on and on and on, despite opposition. The household of Stephanas are described as giving themselves not just to work, but to labour. And that's a hard word, a tough word. It's not been easy for them, but they have continued to love through the difficulties. I just sense that this may be a special word to a number of people today, to press on with love through the hard times, to press on with Christ-shaped love, following the example of the Lord Jesus when it is difficult to do so, when there is opposition, when it would be easy to move away, when it would be easy to give up. Press on with the hard task of loving. A number of years ago, this is before I came to Leeds, I was in a particular context which was incredibly challenging and stretching and, to be honest, very tough. But it was also proving extremely fruitful as a number of really tough things got straightened out. And at that time, an accountability group that I'm part of, one of the members gave me a word from God. And this doesn't happen all the time with me. And occasionally it happens and someone gives me a word and I discern and say, well, I don't think so. I can't quite see that. This is one of those things that was challenging, but for me was just so obviously from God, and it stayed with me. And the picture was of me with a machete hacking my way through a rainforest. So this very dense jungle. Lots of leaves, lots of vegetation, all sorts of stuff hanging down, tree trunks, difficult going underfoot, really, really tough. And it was hard going, and I was hacking my way through this. And my friend Heather said, I think this is a picture of you at this time. It's hard going, but it's also fruitful. The vegetation is verdant. It is dripping with moisture. There is rain. There is life. There is growth. God is blessing what you're doing, but it is hard. I remember that at a number of points in my ministry, and I'm thankful for that word. And I just sense today, as I've prayed about this, as I've reflected on this, that maybe God is calling me to pass this on to people who are listening, people who are engaging with God's word. For you in your place of work, in your family life, in your ministry, it's really, really tough going. It's like you're hacking your way through a rainforest. It's painful. It's slow. It's trouble underfoot, trouble ahead of you. You've got stuff falling on your head. It's really, really hard. And yet it is fruitful. The vegetation is lush. It's verdant. It's green. God is blessing what you're doing. And the call is to press on in the hard task of love. It was so tough in Ephesus, but Paul realized that despite that toughness, despite that opposition, it was God's calling for him in ministry. There was an open door for ministry for him. The household of Stephanas, they had given themselves devotedly to Christian service, and sometimes it had seemed like hard labor. And yet they had persevered, and Paul commends them for it. Persevere in the hard task of love. And there's one final point before we move on. And that point is commitment to one another as an expression of love. In the very final words that Paul gives, the final greetings, we see him showing love to those that he knows and encouraging them to show real love to one another. It struck me in this time of lockdown and Zoom how tactile this is. Warm greetings are sent. There is greetings given to Aquila and Priscilla and the church that meets at their house. They are greeting the Corinthians warmly. And you think of a house church like this, we might think of a small group meeting in a home. This is likely to have been a much bigger affair, a large house, but with people pressed in, jostling, greeting one another. There's godly sort of pushing and shoving and greeting and hugging. It's something very tactile, something very, very real about this. And then we get greet one another with a holy kiss. Obviously, we can't do that now. J.B. Phillips, the old Bible translator, rendered this as greet one another with a hearty handshake. Not his finest hour. It's a bit too polite and middle class and English. It doesn't really reflect the text. But now we can't even do that. And it's frustrating. I pray that soon there will be a time where we can greet in this way again and know the joy of face to face, person to person, physical worship and mission and ministry. It is what God has called us to. May we return to it in the future with a real passion. But also, let's remember that we can love now. Not a holy kiss, not even a hearty handshake, but we can do a Zoom wave. We can have a cup of coffee with someone over Zoom. We can wave at people through a window. We can go for a walk in the park. We can love and serve people in different ways. Just as I bring this to a close, I want to talk very briefly about Cheryl and my wedding experience that was very different. There wasn't the physical coming together of many, many people in a church service celebrating with us. Our family weren't there, our friends weren't there, our church family wasn't there with us, and that was sad. And yet you showed us tremendous love, nevertheless. I have a few cards here to show. This one is from the Yorkshire Baptist Association, so that's very exciting. This has arrived today, together with these flowers. They're so heavy, I can hardly lift them up. So we got loads and loads of flowers from different people. We are so grateful. Other cards from people. This is from the children's small group. I don't know if you can see that there. That's fantastic. And Ruth Hughes and Gideon Fairhall sent that through to us. Thank you very much to the children's small group. This is from the Shipleys, Nathan leading our service today. This has been written by Grace, at least that's what I'm assuming from the handwriting. It also came with some confetti. That was really lovely. So many other lovely things. Yeah, no holy kiss, no hearty handshake, no big meeting with all sorts of people, but flowers and gifts and cards and messages of love. I probably shouldn't say this as a Baptist minister, but we won't be buying any Prosecco for a while because we actually got rather a lot. We are so grateful. Different ways of showing Christian love. Let's love one another in these days. Holy kiss, well, it's not really possible. Hearty handshake, even that is ruled out. But other things are very much possible. Let's show this love in these days, practically and really. Do we need 1 Corinthians 13? Absolutely we do. If we are going to love in God-honoring ways, shaped by Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we need 1 Corinthians 13, but also we need the practical outworking that is 1 Corinthians 16. Let's put it into practice in the power of the Spirit in the days ahead. Going to have a very, very short sort of takeaway section. And what I want to do is just ask three questions relating to the three points that I've made. And so I just encourage you to be quiet. You might want to bow your head. You might want to open your hands before God just as you sit or stand. And let me just leave these questions with you for reflection. How can we give this week? Financial giving as the main focus, but other ways of giving too. Perhaps the prompt is just to continue as you are, and God says, well done. But it may be that God is moving you from haphazard giving to planned giving. Take that step now. Don't put it off, and you make your vows before God and then put them into practice. That is the first question. Secondly, how can we persevere in love this week? Perhaps you're giving up on love. Perhaps you're giving up on a colleague, on a situation, on a family member, on a neighbour, on a friend. Henri Nouwen calls us to be wounded healers, continually reaching out in love. We think of the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, to love and not to count the cost, to give and not to heed the wounds, to labour and not to seek for any rest, save that of knowing that we do God's will. Of course, in following Christ, in loving like Christ, there is great reward. So, Lord, help us to persevere in love. Help us to keep on hacking through the rainforest, knowing that in following your way, there is great reward. And the final question today, how can I love sisters and brothers this week? Sadly, not a holy kiss. Sadly, not even a hearty handshake. Sadly, not a church that is meeting in buildings, jostling together. And yet, in these times, it's even more important to love. It's even more important to reach out. As we sit and reflect, perhaps God is prompting you about one person, one situation that he wants you to move into this week. Or maybe it's something that's ahead and you don't yet know that it's around the corner, but God will prompt you when it arrives. May he fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit and give you power to love. How can we give this week? How can we persevere this week? How can we love this week?